Well, hello. It's good to be with you, and I hope that you're having a great day. I'm thankful that God has given us these means to meet together and this time to come together to meet with Him. And I hope in our times together that you grow in your relationship with the Lord and your love for Him, your ability to trust Him. And since we're meeting with Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord, and for your love and your provision, your care. Father, we praise you for you're the living and almighty and sovereign God, and we humble ourselves before you. Lord, we seek your face today. Father, we ask that you would reveal the truths in your word, but yourself, O God, through those truths. Lord, we long to know you, Lord, to experience you, to walk with you, to be filled by you. Lord, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I know we're all very familiar with those words. They, of course, start the 23rd Psalm, one of our favorite psalms, if it's not our favorite psalm. Read it many times. No doubt you've studied it. You may even have it memorized. And yet, the more we look at this psalm, the more we see that there is to see. But last week, we began looking at this psalm. And as we saw the various components that are here, and again, the more you look at it, the more that there is. And as we look at the psalm, the first thing that we saw was that it hinges on a personal relationship with God. Again, David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." He knew the Lord in a personal way. And before we think or talk about anything else, the question has to be asked, do you know the Lord as your shepherd? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Do you know Him personally? Everything hinges on that, certainly in life and for eternity. If you've never trusted Christ, I ask you now to just meet with Him, place your faith and trust that Jesus died and rose again for your sins, and allow Him to be the Lord of your life. And so we see the personal relationship, but then we also see the provision in this psalm. There is the provision for the physical needs of life, where David went on to say in the latter part of verse 1, going through verse 2, "I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." All that speaks of the physical needs of the sheep and how a shepherd would give himself to meet those needs, just as the Lord has promised to meet our needs. But it's not just the physical needs, but even deeper, even more important. There's the spiritual needs. Think of verse 3. "He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." He restores our souls, whether you're talking about the initial act of salvation or cleansing when we confess our sins in our ongoing walk, or just the healing wholeness, if you want to call it that, that He brings into our lives. There is, in fact, the spiritual provision. But then we move on in this psalm, and we come to the protective presence of the Lord. You think of what we see in verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David, as he was inspired to write this, obviously looking back on his life, and David knew all about physical danger. He knew about frightening, dangerous times, both in his times as a shepherd, also as a warrior, a general, certainly as a king. And David could say that God is with me. Believer, we are never alone. Even right now, today, in your circumstances, in your situation, facing whatever problem or difficulty it is, you are not alone. You think about what God said to us in Isaiah 41:10. Where He said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You think about how our Lord, as He was given the Great Commission, how He ended that commission. He said, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." You think of the verse in Hebrews 13, verse 5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Believer, God is with you. You are not alone, even in your present circumstances. And He's not just, it's not just His presence that we see described here in Psalm 23, but again, as I've labeled it, it is His protective presence. He talks about the rod and the staff of the shepherd. The staff would guide the sheep, is what he would use to guide the sheep. The rod is what he would use to protect them. Shepherds protected their sheep. In fact, is they would die before they allowed anything to happen to the flock. Do you remember David? Before he went out to face Goliath, and Saul said, "You can't face him. You're only a youth, and he's been a warrior since his youth. How on earth can you face him?" Do you remember what David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through 36? "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant was tending his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God.'" Did you hear what David was saying there as he looked back on his life and his experience as a shepherd, from which he, you know, drew the word picture for this psalm? You think about it. He went out after the lion or the bear. This wasn't really David fighting for his own survival when he got attacked by a lion or a bear. No, when a lion or a bear attacked a sheep, David went out after the lion or the bear, and he attacked it. And did you hear what he said? He had actually rescued the sheep out of the mouth of the lion or the bear. He would actually take it out of his mouth. You think about what it says there. He said, you know, when he rescued it from his mouth, and when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. That's hand-to-hand combat, or hand-to-paw combat, if you will. Hand-to-tooth combat. You think about it. Have you ever gone, you know, have you ever seen a lion or a bear? Their size, their power, their strength, their fierceness. And here we're talking about the shepherd going out and attacking the lion or the bear. It's a word picture of what our shepherd does for us. And again, you think back over in John 10, when our Lord picked up on this psalm, when he was talking about himself as the good shepherd and the great shepherd. Do you remember what he said there? Talked about how he is the door. The shepherd would, in fact, lie across the sheepfold. He was the door. Nothing could get to the sheep unless it went through him first. My friend, nothing can reach you unless it is first gone through the shepherd. And wherever you are in his hands. You have his protection. You have his presence. He is there with you, his protective presence. What a blessing we have as we think about our Lord's care and provision for us. But then we move on from that, and we have his profusion. And by that I mean just his overflowing riches of grace and wonder and gifts that he gives us. Just the way that he pours out his blessings upon us. You think of what we read in verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." I love the pictures that are there. You prepare a table before me. You think about what a table speaks of. Certainly food. But the idea is also that of fellowship, that of belonging, family, if you will, or friends as close or even closer than family. You prepare a table before me. Just that richness of his blessing. And then in the presence of my enemies. It's not that God provides for us and blesses us once the problem is over, but in the very midst of it. And even in the midst of it, you've anointed my head with oil. Now that probably doesn't mean as much to us where we live in a wonderful climate. In fact, as we're getting rain here today, but you think about what that would mean in a very dry desert type climate. The soothedness, the way it would soothe, the healing aspect, the richness. This is what our Lord gives us. And he goes on to say, his cup overflows. It's constantly being filled and overfilled. God doesn't just give us sparingly. You think of the richness that he brings to our life. We go on into verse 6. "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life." God's goodness. You know, the reality is, you talk about the attributes of God. God is by his very nature good, and everything that he does is good based on the eternal scale. We don't always understand it. But God is good. And he gives us his loving kindness. I love, and I think I got this from J. Vernon McGee, gave the illustration one time of a little girl was asked to define loving kindness. And she said, when your mother makes you toast and butters it, that's because she loves you. But when she butters it and puts jelly on it, that's loving kindness. Now, I'm not trying to trivialize it, but it's a beautiful picture. You think of the goodness that God brings into our life, the richness that he brings there. And again, you notice where? In the presence of our enemies, not after the problem, but in the very midst of it. Sometimes, even in the darkest of days, he doesn't just carry us, he blesses us, and doesn't just bless us, he pours out a profusion of blessings that actually causes our cup to overflow. You think about what we read over in Psalm 34 and in verse 8. You think about the psalm there where it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. David knew the Lord's goodness. And David could look at his life even after some painful, difficult circumstances, and even in the middle of them, and could say, my cup overflows. But then we move on and we see, lastly, we see God's promises. And by that I mean his eternal promises. You think of what we see in the latter part of verse 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of this love and care and provision and blessing that we've been talking about is really only a down payment, is really only a deposit for all that we will experience in eternity. You think of the blessings for those of us who know Christ, those of us who have, in fact, by faith, made the Lord our shepherd. If you haven't done that, I ask you to do that. But all this that he does for us in life is but a down payment. You think of the blessings that are ahead of us, believer, where we dwell, not just live, but dwell in the house of the Lord. And house there, again, the idea there of family. By grace, by faith in Jesus Christ, we actually are the adopted children of God. And we will spend eternity with our Father who has eternally loved us and will eternally love us. You think of what is ahead of us. Our shepherd is wonderful. And again, if you don't know him, come to him. And if you know him, walk with him. Because from this moment through eternity, he will pour out his care and his love. What a Lord, wonderful Lord and Savior we have. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you for your love. O Lord God, your eternal love for us, your provision, your care, your protection, and O God, your wonderful promises for life, but O God, even more for eternity. Father, may we walk with you and trust you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day that you'll experience the shepherd's care and guidance and protection, that you'll know his love, and that you'll have a wonderful day in him.